The Secrets of Technology is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. Hi, I'm Dom Bettinelli, and you're listening to The Secrets of Technology, where we discuss the technology news that's important to you from a uniquely Catholic point of view. And joining me today on the panel are Joanne Mercier. Hey, Joanne.
Hey, Dom.
And Father Corey Stika. Hey, Father Corey.
How's it going?
Folks, I want to tell you about another show on the StarQuest Network I'm sure you'll enjoy. It's The Secrets of Star Trek, which you can find wherever fine podcasts are found, or at sqpn.com/StarTrek. To get right to today's business, because we've got so much to talk about, back in 2020, I think it was 2021, we did an episode on what's in your tech everyday carry. Like, what do you carry with you tech related every day? And I did that with Father Andrew Kinstetter and Pat Scott. And we had a great time talking about all the different tech we're carrying. It's been a while. And for me, I've updated a lot of that tech. And, we haven't heard from Father Corey or Joanne on that. So we wanted to update that. We also did a Christmas gift guide. I don't know if it was in 2022 or 2023 on everyday carry Christmas gift ideas. And so there's a lot of great stuff in there. And I did that with Victor Lambs and Father Joseph Sund. And so we're going to talk about what are we carrying for tech in our daily life today, in our pockets, in our bags, if we have a tech bag that we carry. So we'll just go round robin, and I'm going to start with the pockets. What's he got in his pockets is, says Gollum, or Capital One, what's in your wallet? And so let's start with the wallet. The wallet itself, my wallet, is actually, I have a minimalist wallet. I used to carry one of those big fat leather wallets for years, giving myself a sciatica pain because, sitting on the darn thing. And I decided to pare down because I think most people you carry way too much stuff in our wallets if we just never clean it out. So I said, I'm going for a smaller wallet. So I went with the Nomadic wallet. And there's a million of these on Amazon, but it's basically, it's an elastic, fabric around, that holds the cards, and it's got a couple nice things. One of them is that it has a strap on one side that if you pull it, it pulls up the cards and other content on that side. And there's also a little bit of a pouch where you can slide money in. And it holds anywhere from 4 to 15, cards, credit cards or whatnot. And so, I've had two of them. And the one I currently have now, I've had for 4 years, and it's in great shape. There's nothing wrong with it, and it's going to last for a lot longer. So, and it's $20, which is a pretty good deal for something that's lasted that long. So that's the wallet. But for tech in that wallet, the one thing I have that I carry is I don't want to lose my wallet. So I used to carry a Tile. That's the last time we did this. I had a Tile flat card, credit card shaped one. But I've been trying to move everything toward the Apple AirTags ecosystem. But Apple doesn't make a flat card. There are wallets where you can put an AirTag in them, but that makes it really like a huge bump on it, which just looks awful. So I went with something called a third party called Pebblebee. And they have a couple different form factors. And they also make this for Android as well as iOS. Of course, with Android, it doesn't work with Find My because, it would have to be, they have an app and you can use their app for it on Android. But so the Pebblebee card is credit card shaped. It's $30, which is a pretty good deal. It's the same price as a regular AirTag. It's rechargeable. So it comes with a charger, and the card itself has in one corner of it, like two little pogo pin. Actually, not pogo because it didn't stick out. I guess on the charger it's pogo, but two little dots that are magnetically attached to the charger and it recharges. But honestly, I think I've had this for a couple of years and I've only had to charge it once. It's really long lived battery, so really nice, and it works. It shows up in your in, you know, in Find My in the, you know, items section. So if I ever lose my wallet, it'll track it down for me.
Nice.
So
that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah, it's really helpful. Really good. So, Joanne, what about you? What are you carrying in your wallet these days? Or
I don't usually carry a wallet. That's the funny. You know, here we go. I'm not going to get into the women have pocketbooks, and we are, because I hate pocketbooks too. So that's a whole other thing. But I do have an iPhone case from Moderno. And it's the premium leather wallet one. It's MagSafe. So you can actually, and when you buy a MagSafe case, you when you buy a case for your iPhone that has MagSafe, you really have to get a case that says this will penetrate. You can use this to charge. Because the first one I got from another company didn't charge. Sent it back, got this one. It holds up very well, and it has a pocket on the flap that you can put your license. And I have my license, my I'm a Catholic, call a priest card. And then I can put another credit card or my insurance information or my newly acquired Medicaid card. Yes, it's not valid yet, but I did get it early. And that's enough for me for winter time, because I use a cover on my iPhones during the winter around here because I tend to drop them into mud, snow, things like that. So, and it works really well. It's like $50. And it holds up really. Let's put it this way: I've had to give them away before they've worn out on me. So, and that's what I usually carry. But anything else, I have like a crossbody, and maybe it's about 6 inches, and I put credit cards in it and the phone, and that's about all I do with that.
I love the product picture on their site, by the way, of the guy holding the phone up to his ear with the case closed.
Yeah.
Like, oh yes.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, it would look more effective if you actually opened it up.
Well, you know, models, whatever.
Yeah. He's not blonde, so. Okay. No, that's actually good. You know, finding a good, like for me, that has become a big issue with cases is I look at case and go, oh, that's a cool case, but that can't do MagSafe through it. You know, MagSafe capable cases have become a big deal for me, especially since my iPhone. For some reason, the port doesn't work. So I rely completely on MagSafe charging to use my phone these days. Yeah. I got to take it into Apple Store one of these days, but it's not been big, obviously not been a big enough issue.
And it has a really solid leather rubber casing. That is pliable enough to get your phone in and out. Sometimes they're so hard you're fighting with the phone to get in. This is I recommend this case highly, and you'll see it for $50, normally $100. It's mostly $50 most of the time. I've never seen it at full price. So okay.
Good. Father Corey, how about you? Any wallet related tech?
So my wallet's pretty boring. It's the classic trifold leather wallet. And Don, you're right. Us men, I mean, let's be honest. Wallet is men's purses. And so we carry way too much in there.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually had to go carrying it in my front pocket because of you know, how much it would hurt to sit on. But I would like to get one of those portable, the smaller, the thin wallets. But I do carry cash a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you, in Montana, you really should have a little bit of cash, even if it's only like $20. So I want to get one with the cash clip, money clip. Another thing I want to get, we don't think about all of our credit cards now, if they're the tap cards, are basically small radio transmitters. Mm-hmm. And so it is very easy to accidentally tap a card. You know, like if you're using the tap thing at your at the grocery store, at the anywhere, gas station or whatever. And so I want to get some of the RFID protective sleeves that you put the credit cards in to, especially if you're using like the small wallets, that could be a real concern, is accidentally you happen to have it in your hand as you tap one card and it mistaps. So And there is issues too, you know, supposedly of skimmers and stuff like that, where people can come up and accidentally bump you where your wallet is and get a card.
Right.
So it's always those kind of issues that this is worth doing, especially if you're going to be traveling a lot, is these little sleeves. And some of them are very thin and small, thin and compact, and the card just slides in there, and you just pull out the cards, tap it, put it back in, and done. So.
Yeah, like, and you go to Amazon, there are tons of these on there. Like, here's just one at random. You get 14 credit card holders and 4 passport protectors for $10, which, you know, that should be enough for everybody. Yeah. So,
you know, so, and the added advantage too is they will protect your cards. You know, one problem I have with my wallet is the top of the card gets chewed up. From opening and closing the wallet and pulling things in and out. And so the top of it, that plastic is starting to delaminate and stuff like that. So it's got that added advantage. It will keep the cards in good shape too.
Okay.
And my biggest problem with no wallet is I have everything in my Apple wallet.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you'd be surprised that there are still places that don't take Apple wallet, you know, either the phone or the watch. Yep.
They just don't have tap capability at all.
Yeah.
That's still a problem.
Yeah. I mean, after 2020, you know, in 2020 really pushed everybody to, you know, for tap to pay, to have contactless payments, because contact was a bad thing in 2020.
Yeah.
And so that I saw a real sea change in that year. If there's one good thing that came out of COVID, that might be it. But yeah, there's still a few places where you still have to shove the card in or even pay cash. I mean, there's still, you know, if you go to a farmer's market, although even they're getting better. You see Square a lot at farmer's markets. Oh, yeah. And that
Square's
sort of thing.
Big there.
Well, yeah. And one kind of related concern too is I have my debit card from my bank, because it's a small bank, doesn't work everywhere with tap to pay. Mm-hmm. Because there are different systems. You know, we think of Apple Pay and Google Pay and Samsung Pay and a couple others. But underlying those, there's a couple different tap to pay systems. And for whatever reason, my bank is on some of those tap to pay systems, but not others.
I'll be honest. I always just, if I have to use a card and not my Apple Watch, I always just shove it in the slot. I don't even bother trying the tap to pay, because how often it doesn't work. Like, if it doesn't work the first time I tap, I get annoyed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I don't want people tapping their toe behind me waiting for, you know. So I'm just like, from now on, like at Costco, I have the Costco credit card. I just shove it in the slot. Just be done with it. I don't even bother to try. I had other thoughts on that, but I'll save those for another time. Costco's on the mind. All right. So let's move on to something else that we might have in our pockets, our keychains. Joanne, do you have any tech on your keychains?
Not really. I mean, other than those lovely little laminated store cards that you can, they say, oh, let's scan this.
Yeah.
But I do carry one thing that comes from my dad. I guess a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Coca-Cola gave out a flat screwdriver. And it has 4 different size heads on it. I have used that so much from trying to pry open small, pads, to try to put new batteries in, to all kinds of little things. So that is my go-to. And then I just
mention real quickly about that. You can usually find those today at O'Reilly's Auto Parts or stuff like that.
A lot
of times they'll be in like little bins in front of the registers.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, they're still available.
I never knew where my dad got it. And when he died, I took it because I said as a momentum. And then I started using it for everything. And it was like, oh, this is good. And I carry a piano key. I'm a musician. If I have to go to a church that they lock the piano, I got a piano key. So that's about the highest tech things I have, other than my car fob.
Yeah.
Which
everybody has.
Everybody's got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father Curry, how about you? What's on your keychain?
Well, Joanne's got a piano key. I've got a church key, but with my church keys. The classic bottle opener.
The little small bottle opener. Yes.
Yeah. Those little keychain bottle openers are very nice to have. Mm. Another thing I have is it actually was, it's like a generic brand Swiss Army knife, but like a multi-tool pocket knife, a very small one. Mm-hmm. Now, with the caveat, some states that's illegal to carry, you know, pocket knives. They're very strict about what you can and can't carry. I live in Montana where, you know, oh, you're moving to Montana. Here's your knife. You know, we issue knives when you walk. No,
you'll need this Bowie knife to fight off the bears, you know, to like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but that, it's nice to have that little multi-tool pocket knife. If nothing else, when the Amazon shipment comes, you can, you know, just pull it out your pocket and do that. And then I have, you know, you're talking about the key fobs. Well, the pickup that I have that I traded my parents for, didn't come with remote start. And so they added the remote start. And so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. If you've got, and not all modern vehicles have, you know, brand new vehicles have remote start to this day. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing to think about is, you know, the one that my, parents chose is from a company called Astro Start. Mm. And it works really, really well. So you can find these aftermarket. Now you got to go to a shop to have it added. You can't just plug it into your car.
Right.
You can try, but you're probably going to break things. Yeah. But that's, you know, something that's especially in a place like, say, oh, I don't know, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, North Montana, where it gets cold 6 months out of the year.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to hit the button, especially if you got a garage door opener, you can open remotely. Open the garage door, hit the button, and
honestly, in July and August around here, it would be nice to be able to cool the car down a little bit too, because, you know, 90 degrees out inside that car can be 110 degrees you sit in it.
Yep.
Just be glad you don't have those plastic seats like cars used to have. Sit on one of those with bare legs.
Oof. Oh yeah.
All right, cool. So well for me, on my keychain, for a keychain. Back in 2015, I bought a heavy duty carabiner. It's like this, it's not a mountain climbing carabiner, but I had a carabiner before. It was one of those cheap ones, like $1.95 you pick up off the counter of the grocery at the convenience store. You know what I mean? It was cheap and it was always like opening and my keys were falling out, which is no good. So I went out and got a nice heavy duty carabiner with a screw lock, you know, you screw it to lock it closed, which is really nice. And so I've had this ever since then. It's been great. I love it. The particular one I bought on Amazon isn't sold there anymore, but there are a billion other ones. One thing I do have is I have an AirTag on my keychain because, you know, that I'm me and I lose things. And, for the AirTag, I also have the Belkin secure air tag holder with key ring. And so it's just a little it comes apart, you twist it, it open it up, you put the air tag in, you twist it back together, and then it has the little keychain loopy thing. It's very simple, but you know, very useful for air tags. It's like $11 right now at Belkin, at the Belkin website. Nice. So that's really good. And then another thing I remember my dad's keychain. He looked like the night watchman at the museum. I mean, just his keychain always had a billion keys on it. I'm like, I don't like having a billion keys on my keychain. I mean, I have enough as it is. So what I did was I got a keychain organizer. Now, again, the one I have now is not available anymore, but there are a lot of other ones, and I'll link to one example in the show notes. And it comes apart and you put your keys in it. What's the best way to describe it? Flat. And so it organizes them like in a stack, and it's almost like a pocket knife. And so when you want a particular key, you just fold that key out and it's available. And I do this for all of the keys that I have that I don't use a lot. Like, I don't use the house key very often because we have electronic locks. But, you know, if I need it, it's there. I have like a filing cabinet key on it and some other keys. And so that I put a lot of stuff, that sort of stuff on there that I just don't use a lot. That's very handy for keeping it organized. I really like that one. So yeah, that's what I got in my keychain. Now, just in my pockets in general, I got a few things. I always pretty much have my AirPods Pro with me. So the noise canceling ones, because I'll be honest, there are times when I just put them in to cancel noise. I don't even listen to anything like when I'm at, you know, scout meetings and things like that.
I was going to say kids.
I'm a dad of five kids. There's plenty of times I just need to cancel the noise. One thing I always carry in my pocket is you'll hear Anker on this list a number of times. So I have the Anker 521 magnetic battery, or sometimes called the Power Core magnetic. It's a 5,000 milliamp hour MagSafe battery for my phone. And that way I've always got a little bit of backup power on me in my pocket, and it's small enough that I don't, it doesn't feel too bulky. It just slides right in my pocket. So full, you know, here's what I have in my pockets. On my right pocket, front pocket, I always have my wallet, my battery that I just mentioned, the Anker battery, and something that Victor mentioned in one of our, as a pick of the week, it was, that he mentioned once before, the cable card. That's what it is. So I should remember, where did I put that? Mm-hmm. Cable card. And what it is it's a little case that snaps open. It's a really tight case. And in the case are a lot of little tools that you will often use with computer or phone. Things like a USB-C cable, a SIM ejector. You know, you have those SIM cards.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my iPhone doesn't have a SIM in it. It's, you've got an eSIM. But I know other people who have eSIMs. A bunch of other little tools like that. You can, and then it has a space where you can store other SIMs as well, like nano SIMs and that stuff, like if you have them. So if you ever have, you know, a need to swap SIMs in and out of things. So little adapters and stuff like that. So it's a nice little, you know, personal tech case that's the size of like two credit cards stacked. It's really small. So that's also in my right pocket. And I also have a flashlight. I'm one of the, I've kind of gotten to be like dad who's always prepared sort of thing. And so I carry a small pocket light. Olight is my favorite brand of flashlights. I own a number of Olight products. It's the I5REOS. It's the size, I'd say, of like slightly larger than like two AA batteries stacked, you know, stacked together. And it's got plenty of light. It's got a removable clip. So if you want to, you can actually reverse the clip. Can you? Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can like put it on the brim of your hat and almost use like a headlamp if you need to. Say you're trying to do something inside the hood of the car and you need two hands.
But Dom, that takes away the joys of being a dad, of yelling at your son because he's not holding the flashlight right.
Why are you pointing that thing? Point it there where I'm looking. Don't point it at the hood. Yeah. You're signaling planes? Come on. Yep. You can imagine. I may have been on the receiving end of that or have been the one saying that at different times. Other things that I wear, I have an Apple Watch Series 9 and something I wear on my belt. You mentioned a pocket knife, Father Corey. I have a Leatherman. I always have a multi-tool on me. As much as I... you know, in whatever situations it's allowable, I always have Leatherman. I recently upgraded from the Skeletool, which was a nice, more simple tool, to something a little, I wanted to get something that had a few more tools on it. I'm not sure if it's missing one thing that the Skeletool had, which is the Skeletool had a bottle opener. Other than that, it's great. But this has a lot of tools. I wanted something that gave me a lot of tools. It's got the pliers, of course. It's got the bit driver. It's got the can opener and scissors. Actually, I'll be honest, I've used the scissors a lot more than I thought I would when I've had a multi-tool that had those little scissors on them. Whether you got to cut a little piece of, you know, string or, you know, cut a piece of paper or something, I've used it. It's really great. I don't use the awl, you know, the hole punch thingy very much. I don't know about that. But yeah, it's great. And people are like, why do you have to carry a knife? That seems really weird. Well, you mentioned it, Father Corey. Boxes. I'm always not even just opening boxes, breaking down boxes to put them in the recycling. I'm constantly having to cut something or
I've had a Leatherman or something similar forever,
yeah.
You know, and that's the right thing. I said, I got just a little generic Swiss Army knife type thing, but you're always going to find time for those tools. And yeah, like you said, there's times like, there's a piece of string hanging off my shirt or whatever. Yep. You know, you either do the pull, which of course makes it worse, yeah. Or just pull out your little knife and
yes,
pop it off. You know?
Or as Joanne,
go ahead.
I was going to say, as Joanne, you mentioned with the little screwdriver thing on your keychain, I like walk around the house just yesterday. I'm like in the bathroom and open up the cabinet and the knob is loose. And it's like, oh, better tighten that up. So I get out my Leatherman and tighten it up, you know, or, you know, stuff like that. It's just, it's the little things that would normally just get missed until it fell off, and now my wife's like, can you come and fix the knob? I don't have to wait to do that. I can do it right there. So it's nice having these things on me.
I am shaking my head because men are always complaining about what's in a woman's pocketbook. And I'm listening to all of this going, and I have this thing that's a multi-device intro. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are just as bad as we are.
We just keep them in our pockets.
Here's the real question. Do you have the cargo pants?
Well, that's what I'm going to say. This is why dads have cargo pants.
Okay.
Pockets.
See, women don't have cargo pants.
Not the tactical blacks, but the khaki colors. That's what men wear.
Exactly. And cargo shorts in the summer.
Yikes.
Yes.
Yikes.
With socks and sandals. Joanne, save us.
Get a Scotty vest.
Yes, Scotty. Yeah. Oh, I had one of those ones. Those are awesome. Father Corey, what about you for wearables, pockets?
So I don't have a lot that I put in my pockets. You know, wallets, keys, very priestly items. I do have rosary. I've had a rope rosary with beads that I've had for years. And then purple stole, because you never know when such thing is needed as a priest. Always a good thing to have. But my wearable is just a watch. I have a Fitbit Versa 2 that I've had for a couple of years now that I'm actually looking at upgrading because they've added a lot of features. But, you know, the Fitbit watches they may not be as flashy and as well known as obviously Apple's, you know, big production that they always put on with the new watches, but Fitbits always they're good watches. They always do the job well. With the newer ones, because now Google owns them, they've integrated a lot more like Google Maps and Google Pay, because Fitbit had its own Fitbit Pay that you had to use the Fitbit app to set up your credit cards. Well, now with the new Versa 4 and some of the newer credit or new watches, they've got it where you can use Google Pay, because I use Google Wallet on my phone anyways, speaking of that. So being able to do the tap with my watch will be really nice. So that's going to be upgraded. But I've got a lot of great use out of the Fitbit Versa, because it can do apps and stuff like that. Not as big a selection as like Apple has, obviously, but it still does a lot of the good stuff. And of course, it does exercise. It does your heart rate. It does your steps. It does, you know, it does the things you want from a smartwatch.
Right. Right. Awesome. Good. And then Joanne, what about you?
I don't go anywhere without my Apple Watch. I have a Series 8 and it is on me, I would think, 360 out of 365 days. Okay. Just because it does what I need it to do. A lot of timers, a lot of loud environment type of signals. And I have it because I trip now because of my legs. And if I fall, I want it to contact someone. And that is that was a big draw for me with the watch. Yep. And I do have a cellular one, because I do leave my phone, especially at the churches, sometimes in my office and I roam around. So if I ever had to signal anybody, it would be, you know, doing it on its own and not, you know, right, being tied to a phone. And, you know, now that we've talked about it, those Scotty vests are a great, I have one. And when I need, because I don't have a wallet or sometimes a pocketbook, that Scotty vest is putting, there's a lot of tech that goes into it.
Yeah. There's RFID pockets. They have channels where you could put your phone in a pocket, and then there's a loop that goes up to your neck where you could loop your AirPods if you have wired ones. I had one of these a while back. Yeah, I haven't updated, gotten a new one in a while, but and the nice thing is like you can even carry a laptop in one of these. You think, why would I want to carry a laptop in my vest? When you carry stuff on your body, it's the weight is distributed. And so it doesn't feel as heavy. It's like a bag which weighing on a shoulder, so there's something to that.
Well, and if you're traveling, if you're flying a lot, it's a lot easier to take off your jacket or your vest and throw it through the scanner than it is a laptop bag. Empty your pockets.
Yeah.
Yep. Empty your pockets, all that stuff.
But I have done the iPad. I have put the iPad in it, and it is a little bulky. So if you're concerned about, because it's not in a place where you'd think it was lodging, it's usually in the back end, the backside. So if you're sitting down, if you lay or, recline the wrong way, I wouldn't want to replace the screen.
But like an iPad mini or a Kindle, I used to carry my Kindle in there, and that works really well. Yeah.
And going back to one thing I talked about for wallets is a lot of these Scotty vests have the RFID blocking pocket where you put your wallet, you put your credit cards in there.
Yep. They have Scotty vest underwear. That's interesting. I don't want to even.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
That's a t-shirt. Sure. Yeah. Underwear. Nope. No.
All right. Moving on. Speaking of carrying multiple things, what about a bag, a daily tech bag? Father Corey, what are you using? What are you carrying in your tech bag?
Yeah. So I don't have a fancy bag. I know Dom and Joanne will both talk about their nice bags, but my current tech bag is a free bag I got from going to the St. Paul Center, Scott Hahn's organization, going to the priest conference this past January, which, by the way, any priest listening, go. If you want to drink the scriptures from a fire hose from Scott Hahn and Tim Gray and John Bergsma, go. Yep. It's fantastic. But it's a week usually in a resort. That's just wonderful. So that's my bag. It was the freebie this year or last year. I think last time I went, I guess. But in that bag, I usually have, it's called the Remarkable 2. And I did this as a pick a few months or year or so ago. It's an e-notebook. So it's like the e-ink notepad. And it's, as in my pursuit of trying to simplify my life when it comes to technology, this thing is fantastic because it's like a notepad you can write on. It's got a little pen you can write with and, just like the Apple Pen, and you can erase with it and all that kind of stuff. So you can take notes. That's what I use to take notes when I do Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who, Stargate, all those things. You can load PDFs on it. It has integration with Dropbox and
OneDrive.
OneDrive, Google Drive, so you can download any of your documents from there. So that's how I give my homilies. I write them up in Google Docs and then download them to the notepad, to the Remarkable 2. I can draw on it, make notes if I need to. It does ebooks. So as a matter of fact, just read Dune, the ebook version of Dune off of it. It's great because it is the e-ink. You don't have the glare from the backlighting and stuff like that. So that's what I use now for all my note taking, all my like I said, giving homilies, all that kind of stuff. So that's my daily carry. If I have to take my laptop, my old MacBook Pro, I've got an old Apple Magic Keyboard. Because if I'm taking, like, I'm the secretary on one of the boards that I'm on, and so I have to take notes, and I prefer to use the separate Bluetooth keyboard to type on than the laptop keyboard. It's much more comfortable because I can have the laptop a little bit further away and then type on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And those old Apple Magic keyboards, the classic ones, they work so great for that because they're so compact.
Yep.
And they use like nothing for batteries, like two double A's or whatever. So I have that I'll carry with. And then I use, when I travel, I've got Apple USB, the white brick USB-A Apple chargers. They just work for everything. Yep. And they are so much better than the $5 counter gas station chargers. because they're just so much better built. Yep. And if you've bought an Apple product in the last 20 years, you have at least one. And I think they multiply.
That's true.
I think I have more of these stupid little chargers than Apple products I have ever bought. And that includes iMac and MacBook Pros. You know, I think they multiply.
They do. They're like triples.
I was just
going to
say that.
Yeah. So you mentioned bags. And so I have a big computer bag, but I'm not going to talk about that. I want to talk about a bag that I would carry with me on a regular basis. I don't carry a big computer bag regularly. So when I needed a new bag a little while ago, the old one has worn out. And so I went on a quest. I looked at so many different bags, and I finally settled on a bag from a company called TomTok, TOMTOC. And it had a different name when I bought it, but when I look at it on their site, this is, I'm pretty sure, the same one. It's called the Navigator T24. It says it can hold a 14-inch MacBook Pro. I believe it. I wanted one that was big enough that didn't feel bulky. This is a 7-liter bag, they say. It's a nice color. It has so it's a sling style, so it goes over a shoulder. And one of the nice things is if you wear it on your back, you can slide it around in front of you, and then it's laying flat across your belly, so you can get into it without having to drop everything, that sort of thing. So that's really nice. It also has a pocket on the front, like a zip pocket. You open it up and you can reach in, and there's, you know, you can have keys and whatnot in there. It has a big, of course, open main pocket on top with, it's got a spot, like an area to put your iPad, which is what I usually carry in it, or a laptop or whatever, separate from other things. And then it has some pockets in there to organize a little bit. The back that goes against your back or your side is padded, but there's also a hidden pocket there on the inside. So it's up against your body. So you can, and it's kind of hidden. Like, you have to know it's there to get at it. And when you go into it, you could put like a passport in there or your phone or that sort of thing. So anything you really want to keep close to you. And the strap is a really nice strap. It's got a nice big wide padded part at the top. It has a clip on, a really strong swivel clip, and it's really easily adjustable. That was an important thing for me, to make it easily adjustable. What else? The only thing I wish it had was a way to carry my water bottle on the outside. There are loops on the outside, which I think are really kind of more intended for like camera tripods, I think, because it's really would be a nice camera bag too. But there's no outside water bottle holder thing. I kind of wish it had that. But other than that, it's a really nice bag. It was $60. So, I wouldn't say it's pricey. I saw ones that were a lot more expensive. It was within my budget. So I was happy with that. Inside the bag, I have two battery packs. So I have the Anchors 733, which looks like a wall wart. It has a flip down electric outlet prongs, so you can plug it in. You can just directly plug it into the wall. And it has two USB-C and a USB-A port on it. And you can charge, you can run a laptop off of it. So a MacBook could run and charge off of it. And then while you're also charging your phone off of it, which is really nice. But one of the great things about this is it's not well known out there, but not every charger is good for charging an Apple Watch, every battery pack, because they have to be able to do trickle charge. And I ran into this when I was camping. It was important. I take my watch camping and I need to charge it overnight on a battery pack, and it wouldn't charge. So this one will do trickle charge. There's a mode, you have to press the button and that turns it on in a particular way. But once you turn it on, it will trickle charge your watch overnight. So that's really important to me. So I really like that. It's a little bulky. It's a little heavy for I wouldn't carry it in my pocket. But I also carry another charger as well for my phone. Again, it's a MagSafe charger, and it's a little bigger than the one that I carry in my pocket. That's why it only goes in my bag. But it's the Anchor MagGo power bank. And this is a 10,000 milliamp hour. So it's twice as much as the one I put in my pocket. It's MagSafe. It has a little kickstand that folds out, so you can use it as a phone stand as well. And It also has a little digital display on the side, which is nice. An LCD display on the side, and the display will tell you how much charge it has in it. So, 100% and 79%, that sort of thing. So, both of those go in my bag, and I keep, on pens and, other random stuff. But as far as tech in there, those are the big. I also keep a small keychain flashlight, a very small one, I3E Olight EOS keychain pen light. You could hang it on your keychain, but I keep one in that bag, just in case, I need another flashlight for something. One thing I often find is these bags with the black interior, it's really hard to see anything in there because everything yes. tech is black. Why is everything tech black? But so I, sometimes use the keychain light in there for that. And then Father Corey, you mentioned your rosary. I recently got a new rosary, from Rugged Rosaries. I got the nice. Paracord rosary, and it's made of 550 paracord, which anyone who does outdoor stuff knows what that is, especially if you're a military. And mm-hmm. it's a nice, big, hefty, strong rosary that, I don't mind taking on a hike, camping. It's heavy duty. And frankly, the cross on it is metal, and it's so big I could whack a bear with it, if I need to. But it's nice to have that, something I feel like I have a really beautiful metal, rosary that it's just too nice to take, outdoors and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin it. Mm-hmm. But this is a nice heavy duty, outdoor rosary. So that's what goes in my tech bag.
Oh, I got to get their battle beads. They're World War I battle beads. Oh,
yes, they're replicas of the actual rosaries that were made for and distributed to Catholic soldiers, American soldiers in World War I.
Really?
Really cool. Yep. It's really neat. They made them by the boatload.
They're really solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about them, and they're like never break.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Yeah. It's really cool. It's really cool. Rugged Rosaries. Check them out. They have all kinds of different rosaries there. So, Joanne, your bag?
My bags, because I have a few of them, are all Vera Bradley bags. I got into those a long time ago because of their pockets. They have at least six pockets, if not more, inside, and then maybe two or three on the outside. So my go-tos right now for the office all have the slot for the laptop. And that's important. I also have a rolling one. If I'm going somewhere that I have to carry a lot of gear, I use the rolling one because I can't carry these. They're all that Vera Bradley's making right now are backpacks. 92% of what they're showing is backpack. So if you want to have a handle one or a rolling one, you really have to go into their outlet or really look at their site. If you look at their regular site, they're very expensive. If you go to their outlet, they're a lot cheaper. They're under 100 if you go to their outlet. Mm. Over on their regular site, it's over 100. But these things wear like iron. I average about 5 years on a bag. And I mean, this is heavy cloth material, yet, and then when I take them out of use, what do I do with them? I put all my cables and everything else and then I put them in a closet. So when my husband says, do we still have a cable for this? Yes, we do. Here it is. But my bag that goes to work every day has my LaCie hard drive in it because I'm always shuttling things back and forth with work. Or if I'm not putting in the cloud, that's usually my go-to. I have an assortment of Lightning and USB-C cables because you never know when you're going to have to plug or someone asks you for one. Mm-hmm. I have a bag of dongles, any kind of dongle you want, including the ones that will change regular cables that you use, audio cables, into some other size. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I'm always being asked
all
that.
Those old adapters.
Yeah. Do you have a quarter inch adapter? Do you have an 1/8 inch adapter? And I'm like, yeah, I got one of these.
Those things are worth their weight in gold.
Mm-hmm. I have an HDMI cord. Again, because I get asked that question quite, do you have an extra HDMI cord? Yes, here mm-hmm. we go. They start calling me Mary Poppins because I can pull things out of my bag. I always carry my Hyperjuice 4 outlet you know, four different outlet charger, and which you can't buy anymore, unfortunately. But I liked it because it was two USB-Cs and it's two USB-As. Mm. So, and it's 100 of, it's 100 watt total, but it, you know, that's my go-to. And it's kind of light. The new ones are heavy. Mm. I have a HyperDrive 10 port hub because mm-hmm. you just got to have that for a Mac. If you're going anywhere that all of a sudden you have to start plugging in, like my Bible study, since we do Zoom Bible study mm-hmm. as well as regular, I don't have enough ports on the MacBook Pro. So there it is. I have a lanyard full of thumb drives in various various quantity sizes, anything from 4 gig to 64 to 128 gig. Wow. I have my Beats Pro earphones only because I have my AirPod Pros. I usually use them at home for noise canceling. At the office or out, I've lost my other ones because they fall out of my ears. Mm-hmm. So these go over the ear and I like them better. Nice. I actually have an assortment of pens. You know, some people still want you to sign things. So I always have my reading glasses because yep. I'm that age. And I have my mom's rosary. That was something that I did when we buried her. She's buried with my rosary and I have hers.
Awesome.
So, and now that's I'll great. Get really emotional. So let's move reclaimed. On. Yes, reclaimed very much.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's actually a good way to end our discussion of our tech everyday carry. You know, it's constantly changing. Tech changes. Mm-hmm. We'll have new things. You know, talk to me a year, 2 years from now, and I'll have some different things. So it's a subject we like to revisit, and you know, maybe we'll have. I think I feel like I'm going through the panelists. So next time we'll have another set of panelists to join me and we'll talk about what's in their tech everyday carry. I'd love to hear what listeners have. What do you carry on your person on a daily basis in a tech realm, you know, whether it's high tech or low tech, let us know. Yeah. You can email us technology@sqpn.com.
And place your bets for one day when Dom looks like the doctor. Try and pull things out of his pockets, trying to figure out where something he's looking for is at.
Oh, there's an apple. Like jelly babies.
When he pulls out an apple one time, oh, that's where that was.
So before we head on to our headlines, we'll want to take a moment to thank our patrons and make it possible for us to create the Secrets of Technology, including John S., Hans G., Joey C., Scott E., not Scott E. Vesp, Scott E. and Anthony M. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue the Secrets of Technology and all the shows at StarQuest. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. All right, let's move on to our headlines. Our first headline, Pat shared this in our Slack channel, and it's suitably It's suitably end of the world style. Let's put it that way.
okay.
From PC World. Don't buy these dangerous USB-C accessories. So, bum, bum, bum. So what the dangerous accessory is are cheap magnetic tip adapters for USB-C cables. So what are they talking about? You know, one of the things that Apple and Microsoft have had for a while for the MacBooks and Surface laptops, actually, Apple just got them back again. Well, those, they used to call them MagSafe connectors, and then they started calling something else MagSafe, but they're these magnetic power cords that when you kick them, when you walk past your desk and you catch the cable, the cable comes off rather than pulls your computer off the desk onto the floor, damaging it. And people have been saying, hey, would it be great if we could have other cables that do that? And so these aftermarket companies were coming up with these magnetic connectors for USB cables and other things like that. And some of them are not made well. And there's a real risk of static electricity discharge and electrical arcing across the pins and that sort of thing. And so what we're hearing now is, you know, various experts at PC World talk to saying, don't use these. Like Apple and Microsoft have poured millions and millions of dollars into their device, you know, research. those can be trusted. But a lot of the stuff you get off of Amazon, who knows where they were made and how well they were made. What do y'all think of this? Is this a problem in search of a solution, or a solution, you know, just fear mongering? What do you think?
I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't. You know, I have my MacBook Pro. It has the MagSafe. I'm happy with that. I was very sad when it went away, but now it's back. I think these are, whenever you put a product that isn't made specifically for the product you're putting it on, and we can get into debate about that. I get nervous, and I'm looking at the picture that you have accompanying the article, and I don't think I would ever do that to my iPad. You know, it's one of these things, and then you put this magnetic thing, that's a recipe for trouble. You know, I think you've got to use the cable, and even if you buy a different cable, but you've got to use the cable that's meant for the device. When you start playing with that, I think you start playing with, you know, you start buying yourself some trouble.
Well, I think the advice is, it's a wider advice. So like I kind of commented about the Apple USB-A wall warts, and, you know, they're so much better than the gas station ones, but it's any cable, any charger, any adapter that's cheap,
right?
Because there's a lot of them out of there. They're just, to put it bluntly, crap
and dangerous.
They're just horrible. They're dangerous. They'll break. You look at them wrong and they'll break. They'll take out, you know. So it's, I couldn't find any, but I know there are, like Belkin and a couple other brands that make good MagSafe like adapters where you can plug the little dongle piece in the end, and then it gives you the MagSafe capability. I don't think those are an issue, because I think they're going to have some of the same protections like the Apple one does and the Microsoft one does. It's, again, the $11 adapter. No, I wouldn't even use really an $11 cable.
Right.
Much less an $11 adapter. So it's more the advice of, if you need a USB-C cable, get a good USB-C cable. You know, don't grab the one from the gas station counter.
Yeah.
Oh, because I got to recharge something. That's a danger.
I mean, in an emergency, if I needed to charge my phone and I'm on the road, I'd maybe use it and then throw it away when I got home.
Yeah.
But this is why I buy name brand cables from Anker, Belkin, like you mentioned. And I mean, this is the more general advice is, avoid cheap knockoff, no name cables of any sort. I wonder if this applies also to like adapter cables, where you have, you know, it's a USB-C, but you can, you know, put a tip on it that makes it USB-A and that sort of thing. Because one of the things the expert says is the USB-C specification doesn't account for this sort of thing. You know, the people who designed this didn't design it with this sort of use in mind, and therefore you run the risk of it not working well,
right?
Even though it's technically up to spec. So I agree with that.
The thing to realize is Apple's MagSafe, and I think I'm not familiar with Microsoft's version, but I assume it does the same thing. It actually has electronics in the tip of that you plug into the laptop.
It does. Yeah.
That's why the Apple one has the little light, little LED that changes from green to orange to let you know it's charging.
Right.
Because it's got electronics in there, and there's electronics in the laptop that says, oh, we just got disconnected, cut power.
Exactly.
And what I was trying to say before is, why would you want, especially to the picture that I was referring to, why would you want to do something that the manufacturer hasn't done in themselves? You know, why are there not, you know, MagSafe on an iPad? It would suffer the same fate if it's plugged in and you, you know, tug on the plug. So there's got to be some reason why they haven't done it, and not just because they don't want to. So I wouldn't want to go there. But I will say something about the plugs, those little adapters that go from A to C. If you get one with a device, use it and hold on to it, because it's worth its weight in gold. I use it on various different devices, but I know you can't buy them, and I think there's got to be a good reason for that.
The iPad does have the smart connector on it, and I've always wondered, and which can recharge it like through Apple, you know, through Apple devices. I always wonder why they didn't make that available just for charging in general. That's kind of curious. Actually, as we're recording, Apple has announced the May 7th event to announce new iPads. So I'll be looking at that very carefully because I'm kind of in the market now for a new iPad. But
we wait in joyful hope.
Yes, it would be nice to see some more use of that smart connector on the iPads. That's for sure. All right. So our next headline is another warning of doom and gloom. This one is about your health data from Kim Komando. And she writes about how, you know, we got to be careful about whether our health data has been hacked. She has this cautionary tale about this one company, just one of the breaches, recent breaches that put 144 million Americans. Well, this one was. Not that much, but it was one company, one of the largest healthcare companies in America, got hacked, and you know, a ransomware hack. And honestly, I had experienced this last year. My healthcare insurer had a ransomware hack that took down their system for months. Like you couldn't access the website. All of their claims and stuff was being done manually. It was a mess. It was awful. And it makes you wonder, you know, do we, you know, how are we at risk? They said that this one company reportedly paid $22 million in Bitcoin to retrieve their data. This isn't script kiddies doing this. These are organized. This is organized crime. Russian gangsters or various, you know, other, you know, mafias around the world, you know, have figured out we're going to hire hackers and we're going to set up these very lucrative extortion rings. Basically, it's just modern blackmail. So what do we do? Well, there's not much you can do to prevent your insurance company from getting hacked or your the hospital or your doctor or whatever. I mean, that's on them. They need to do it. You can find. So Kim has a couple of suggestions. Is one, find out if your data has been hacked. If you're insurer, she links to a USA Today webpage that shows recent hacks. And then she has some others like use a lockbox for things that you can do to protect your data. So use a lockbox for your medical records. If you lose your ID card, treat it like if you lost your credit card or debit card. Call your provider right away. Get a new card with a new number, you know, that sort of thing. Strong, unique passwords, obvious. You should use that for everything important. You remove prescription labels from empty bottles before you toss them. That's actually pretty good advice.
I do that.
Yep. Monitor your credit. Report. If you get medical bills that you're like, I never saw this doctor or had this done. That means someone might have stolen your data. As a reference to something we talked about earlier, get a wallet tracker so that if you lose your wallet, you can track it down because if your health card is in your wallet, that's also at risk. What do y'all think of this? Has this been on your radar? Something that concerns you?
Yes. I got an email. I was 2 days ago from my portal that said our system has identified unusual activity. So we're telling everybody to reset their passwords now.
Oh, wow.
And I do not have the one that they've been publicizing around here. So I had to tell my husband because it's his account. So it's like, oh dear, we have to close, you know, we have to watch this carefully. So yeah, it would concern me. I do think the lockbox is a bit much, although I did see that on Kim's, you know, because I don't think a lot of people have paper anymore, but yet they don't know what to do with the portal.
Right.
So we're kind of in between, you know, whether a portal is a good idea or paper, and it's so, but yeah, it is on my radar and I am trying to do something about it.
This is the first of many, many hacks, and there will be many, many more because these companies, and some of it is there's no completely secure computer system. It is impossible. The only completely secure computer system is in a vault, unplugged, turned off, and buried.
Unconnected from everything. Yes.
Right.
Just unusable. You know, I mean, there's the next article we'll talk about is one way you can keep a computer system secure by making it obsolete. But But there's like AT&T just had a big data breach. Credit card companies are having data breaches. Amazon's had data breaches. I mean, this is going to happen. And you just do these are the advice that Kim Komando gives is great. Mm-hmm. Like with the lockbox. Yeah, you're going to have your original Social Security card, or I hope you do. If you don't, it's a good idea to have it. Mm-hmm. You probably have other important documents, like I've got my, DD-214. Those who serve in the military know what that form is. That's worth its weight in gold. You got to keep that secure. Birth certificates, mm-hmm. all these kind of documents that we have, and maybe they're in a drawer somewhere. Maybe they're in a filing cabinet somewhere. Probably want to keep that protected. Of course, the password mm-hmm. issues, use password managers. You can go back and listen to our conversations on password managers. There's some really good ones out there that can keep your stuff secure, stuff like that. Cause these events are going to happen mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter how good or bad the company is. It's going to happen someday. You just got to take care of yourself.
And don't forget safety deposit boxes. That's something that my husband and I have had for a long time. That's where all that information is in paper form. Mm. So I have to actually go to a bank and get the box. Oh, and by the way, looking at the data Excel file, the sheet that Kim Komando has, CVS has been hacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all should know that because CVS is a huge company.
Right. Right. Yep. And even if you don't get paper, or if you throw away, like I scan all my medical paper that mm-hmm. we get, and it lives on my server here. But all that paper, don't just throw that paper away or throw it in the recycling. Shred it along with your credit card statements and other mm-hmm. important things like that. Every house should have a shredder in it these days. It feels like a Sisyphean task to protect your privacy and to protect mm-hmm. yourself against this thing, because so much of it is out of our control. It's other people who are letting yep. our data mm-hmm. out and not us. But right. I mean, you can't just throw up your hands and give up. As hard as it is, you still got to hold yourself accountable. But let's hold these companies accountable, too. Frankly, I think it's a lot of this is carelessness or just a desire to avoid spending money until I have to. And then you have to spend $22 million to get your data back.
Right.
I wonder if the CEO and of that company and the CIO suffered any consequences for it, because they should.
Nah, they let some poor slob that runs the servers get fired.
Yes. Right. And if we do our part with shredding and also with putting our, scanning stuff, if we do our part with this, it's going to help. And lock your credit. Put a lock, put a freeze on your credit with the big three. We had to do that recently. And it's worth its weight in gold and no headaches.
Yeah, and watch your credit. There's a lot of credit card companies now that they give you the free credit score.
Yeah,
where mm-hmm. every month they run your credit score. Watch that. And mm-hmm. Her article mentions that annual credit report, which goes through they're required. The three agencies are required to give you a report every year if you ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Right,
ask for it. But then look at your credit card statements where it shows your credit score is this, and a lot. I one of my credit cards, it actually has like the chart that shows where your score is going. Over the course of a year. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Watch that. Because if you see it start changing all of a sudden, like if it drops for some reason, go find out what's going on.
Right. Yeah. I blocked my credit last year, maybe the year before, when I had someone try to scam me, and they had all kinds of information about me to try mm-hmm. to convince me that they were legit, including my social security number and my home address. That's when I said, okay, time to lock everything down. And so, and you don't have to go with LifeLock and that sort of thing. You can lock your credit at the three big credit agencies for free. You don't have to pay anything. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So let's move on to our last headlines. And Father Gray, you shared this with us. This was an Ars Technica article. I love this. This is so government. Where the headline is 5 1/4 inch floppy disks are expected to help run the San Francisco trains until 2030. 5 1/4, kids, ask your parents what a 5 1/4 floppy disk is, or go look at the article. They have a picture of one.
Yep. Yeah. So this is
my relatives.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a computer system that is used for spacing. It's used for coordinating trains as it goes through their subway system. And it's only like one subway tunnel, you know, basically. So it's not a huge deal. And it sounds like this floppy disk is really just the loads up the software. It's a boot floppy, basically, is what they are, as I understand it. But this is technology that was implemented in the mid-90s when, you know, floppy disks were well-established, known technology, even a little bit on the way out, at least this size of tech disk was. Mm-hmm. But they just kept using it. And there's a lot of technology out there in our infrastructure, not just this particular Muni light rail, but a lot of other systems that still use these kind of floppy disks, including up until a couple of years ago, the missile silos.
Nuclear missiles.
I happen to have nuclear missile silos, including the ones that sit like 3 miles that away from me, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of these where they run on technology that was developed in the 70s into the 90s.
Wow.
And they really haven't been upgraded. There's no need to upgrade them. And we talked about security. Well, you can't get much more secure than a system that is completely disconnected. The only way to use it is to literally walk up to it and stick a floppy disk in it.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing, except for, of course, floppy disks. As anybody who had floppy disks knows, they do eventually wear out. And that's the bigger concern with these kind of things, is this technology, because it's so old, finding replacements for it.
Right. Right. Yeah. The nuclear missile silos used 8-inch floppies, which are even older than the 5.25-inch floppies.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of those in years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can see in the article, we'll link in the show notes. You can see the missile officer holding one in his hand. And it holds less data than I don't.
80 kilobits.
Yeah, it's like
80 kilobytes.
Yeah, like I don't even have anything that could hold that little data anymore. Nevertheless, the other problem is finding people who still know how to program and fix these systems. You know, there are quite a number of older retired tech people, programmers and the like, who are making a good living consulting, supporting this stuff. But there will come a day, time marches on for all of us, there'll come a day when those people aren't around. I mean, there is, Father Corey, you did say, there is a bit of security through obsolescence. That's
obsolescence and air gap.
But it's also, you know, like, I don't know, I just don't feel, I wouldn't feel safe riding on a subway every day that runs on technology that was old, but it was obsolete when it was installed in 1998, a 5.25-inch floppy in 1998. You know what I mean?
I hate to break it to you. That's most of our infrastructure.
Well, that's the thing, is so much of our critical infrastructure, because it's critical. We don't want to mess with it. We don't want to, you know, break it by upgrading it. I mean, because let's face it, anyone who's seen government IT knows how often we have the boondoggle projects that cost hundreds of millions of dollars and don't work. And so we don't want to upgrade necessarily because we're a little, you know, gun shy of, you know, problems. And yet when we fail to upgrade, we end up with issues. And, you know, we could still have security issues with these things. And, you know, it just.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big problem.
Maybe I won't tell my family who live out there, because if you know anything about Bay Area Rapid Transit or BART, which believe might be part of that goes underwater.
No, this isn't BART. This is the Muni. This is the cable cars one. And things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're not connected.
Market Street.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. The BART is safe.
Yeah.
But yeah, the BART is under the Bay. Yeah.
Yes, it
this
is.
This is a very limited line. It's like it's got a handful of stops, I think. Calling in, you know, folks who are listening in San Francisco could enlighten us maybe in some feedback.
Exactly.
All right, cool. So those are our headlines. And by the way, the 8-inch floppies have been replaced. That technology no longer running our nuclear missiles.
they use some sort of solid state, so they probably move to compact flash cards or something like that.
Yeah, right. All right, so let's move on to our picks of the week. And Father Corey, you're up first. What's your pick this week?
So I have a very niche pick of the week because it's more of an announcement than it's a pick. So my pick is the AFI Explorer app. This is an application to search and to read Air Force instructions, basically the regulations of the Air Force. And the reason why I picked this app, the reason why I have this app on my phone is if you've not received the SQPN newsletter, why not? You better sign up at SQPN.com or on our Discord. Again, why not? Go to SQPN.com/Discord. I am entering the Air Force as a chaplain. I am well along the way. I've done most, if not all, the paperwork. Hopefully within the next 6 months, I will be going to officer training school in Montgomery, Alabama, Maxwell Air Force Base, and becoming a chaplain in the Air Force. So this is something I've wanted for a very long time. It's worked out. The sad part about it is I did have to resign from the SQPN board as chaplain, which I thank Dom and the board. Joanne, you were on it for a while, and I enjoyed my time as the chaplain, but I had to resign from that because I couldn't keep that role. And I probably won't be on the podcasts very much, if at all, once I go into the Air Force. But I'm looking forward to it. So it's been great working with SQPN, but I'm looking forward to my new career, my new ministry. Mm-hmm. It really is a new, different ministry. So I'm looking forward to it.
Father Corey becomes a cake eater.
I'm getting verklempt all over again. Yeah.
So speaking of working with government computer systems, though, I've already heard horror stories.
Yes, welcome back. Here's your laptop with Windows XP and Explorer.
Oh, no. No, they're current, but they've got all kinds of protections and antivirus and, oh, boy.
Which, thank God that they do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, so thank you, Father, for your pick and for your service. We are going to miss you here. But he's not going anywhere right away. So let's be sure.
Like I said, it'll be sometimes late this summer into the fall.
Since it's Alabama, let's hope for the fall.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Very much so.
Joanne, what's your pick this week?
Well, speaking of technology, in my household, the past couple of past 6 weeks, we've gotten two brand new cars, both of which who have CarPlay. And I think I waited 2 weeks of plugging and unplugging and plugging and unplugging my phone that I decided I can't keep doing this. So I went searching online and found a little device, which is smaller than a credit card. It's about 3/4 of the size of a credit card, called CarLinkit. Now, you can say CarLinkit, you can say CarLinkit, whatever. And it's an adapter that turns your wired CarPlay and or Android Auto into a wireless one. I'll tell you, it works better than I thought it would. Because the first thing about CarPlay, if anybody has CarPlay out there, is it can be janky sometimes, wired or wireless. Because you're trying to override the car's regular system. And they don't like that too much. I mean, they offer us CarPlay and AutoPlay, but they really would rather you use their stuff. But so it can be a little janky. But this one works, I'd say 95% of the time without a problem. And I've got to be honest, you know, you're always going to get, some people don't like it because it doesn't automatically connect in 10 seconds. Sometimes it's 30 seconds to a minute, but it does finally connect. It's small. I have it way out of the way. It's priced right now. You'll see it on Amazon for $125, but look underneath. There's a little coupon that applies $55. So you're spending somewhere around $50 or $60 for this device. And it's been the best thing. I bought one, then my husband got jealous and I bought him one. So we just get, it's just like any other, you know, wireless car hookup. You get in, you get out, and it stays there. Nice. There's a little bit of a learning curve just to get it to start when you install it. But after that, it works fine. And it's easy to unplug and hide it. Like when I was at the theater last night, I didn't want it out for anybody to see. So I was able to put away and plug it right back in. It works just fine after that. So if you're looking for something that you don't have to keep plugging, now what happens is your iPhone battery will not get charged like it will when you plug into a wired one. So you just use another plug if you need to. But it runs my battery down a little bit. I have a 13 iPhone Pro, so it runs mine a little bit down. But newer phones should be a little bit better.
Yeah. It also looks like for those of us on the Android world, it does also support Android Auto same way.
It does.
So exactly the same. So that's nice too.
Yeah, you really like it. The convenience.
I need to upgrade my cars. I really am jealous of CarPlay. Mm-hmm. I have a 2013 Honda and a 2015 Ford head van. Unit. So
replace the head unit. Replace the head unit. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Awesome. And so my pick of the week is related to something I mentioned in our discussion earlier. I talked about the Belkin AirTag holder for my keychain. They also make AirTag holders for your luggage. So it looks similar to the one they have for the keychain. Like I said, it comes apart in two pieces. You put the AirTag in, you put it back together. But this one has a wire loop that goes across the top, and it's secure. I mean, someone could break it off, I suppose. I mean, it's not Fort Knox. Let's be honest. It's a $14 two pack, you know, but someone would have to really, you know, intentionally want to get this thing off to steal your bag and that sort of thing. It's really nice. I got this from when my teenage daughter was traveling to visit her grandparents in Texas, and I snuck an AirTag into her backpack, and I put another one in on her luggage. And, you know, she's a bit ADHD, so I was like, she might, you know, leave something behind. This way we'll be able to find it for her when she walks away from it in the airport.
Or her.
Find her. That was the other one. Can they make AirTags that are like microchip under the subcutaneous?
No.
You find the kids. So you get two of them for $14. So you can secure two pieces of luggage. Some people say you want to put the AirTag on the inside of the bag, you know, so it's not obvious that it's there. Although if you put it inside a bag, especially if it's a hard sided bag, it might degrade the signal, you know, for the radio signal. But this is not really pretty solid for the outside. So I would recommend that. Oh, that's my pick this week.
Cool.
All right, and that's it from us. We'd love to get your feedback on what you thought of any part of our discussion. You can let us know by commenting on the show at sqpn.com/technology or the StarQuest Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. Send an email to technology@sqpn.com. Visit the StarQuest Discord community at sqpn.com/Discord. You'll find links from our discussion and our picks of the week on our show notes at starquest.fm/TEC253. Be sure to give us a hand by writing a review in Apple Podcasts or one of the podcast directories that allow you to write reviews, and share the podcast with friends to help us grow this community and reach more listeners. Until next time, Father Corey Stika, thank you for joining me in sharing the secrets of technology.
Thank you, Dom.
Joanne Mercier, thank you as well.
Thanks, Dom.
And once again, I'm Dom Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to The Secrets of Technology on StarQuest.